Hello and welcome to your On the Money Daily Markets podcast for this Monday, the 22nd of July. I'm Raina Bosch, filling in for Ricardo Gonzalez. It was a shaky start to the week for the Asian stock markets, the ASX, no exception. Our market index shedding around 0.5% in a broad-based sell-off. That's as investors react to the news that US President Joe Biden is abandoning the 2024 election race. For more on that, as well as the latest on China's economy, I spoke with David Scutt. He is a markets analyst at StoneX.
The impact is not great, it's got to be said. I think the biggest surprise was that it actually took this long for the announcement to come out from Biden rather than actually that it was made itself. Markets have gone and priced in a slightly greater probability that we might go and see a tighter contest between Trump and Harris at this point in time, but it's very still much all about that Trump trades, all things that would benefit under a Trump presidency. He remains the clear favorite, and until that changes, markets are likely to go and behave accordingly.
How about other markets, gold, currencies, oil? I know there's been a few fluctuations there today. Can any of that be tied back to this presidential race?
At the margin, yes. The gold price is very interesting, what's going on at the moment. Had a very, very strong run up until the latter parts of last week, and then has pulled back quite a lot, but still remains in a really strong uptrend. And it really comes down to what's going on with the US dollar at this point in time. We saw that there was initially a little bit of weakness coming through in the US dollar on that announcement from Joe Biden, but that's since reversed. And that's actually gone and weighed a little bit more on the gold prices and also other commodity markets as well.
Now, locally, it's quite quiet on the data front this week, but we do have some big data coming out of the US, including their inflation indicator, the PCE. What are you expecting to see from this, and what kind of impact could it have on interest rate prospects?
Look, it's the Fed's preferred inflation measure, the core PCE deflator, which will arrive on Friday. The thing that you've got to remember with this, though, is that we've already seen the CPI, we've already seen the PPI out from the United States. So we've got a lot of inputs that will go into that. So the only real surprise would be if we saw a really, really hot figure coming out after the cool numbers from the CPI and the PPI reports earlier this month. There's not likely to be a huge reaction, it's got to be said, unless we get a really big surprise one way or another. I'm also paying pretty close attention to what's going on in the advanced Q2 GDP report in the United States out on Thursday. There's a lot of focus now, which is turning to what's going on with activity, economic activity in the United States. And there's a lot of question marks whether we're going to see this soft landing that the Fed and others out there are hoping for. So that might go and give us some inkling as to what we can expect from the US economy. And that will filter through to interest rate markets as well. At this point in time, we still have two cuts favored from the Fed this year.
There has been a bit of news out of China today as well, with it cutting one of its key policy rates. It's not at all surprising. Can you explain what's happened there?
Yeah, so unlike other Western countries, China's got multiple interest rate tools that they use to go and set policy settings. So initially they went and cut the 7-day reverse repo rate, which is like a wholesale rate that banks go and utilize. But then they went and followed that up and they cut the loan prime rates for 1 and 5 year tenors. And that's basically interest rates that flow through to all new and existing borrowers in China. So it's very, very influential. They cut that by 10 basis points. No surprise, the markets were expecting some easing to come through, nor is it really a surprise that we've actually gone and seen it take place now after the markets have moved to go and price in multiple rate cuts from the Federal Reserve. The People's Bank of China, the central bank there in China, is really, really attuned to the risk that we might go and see capital flight out of China if interest rate differentials become too wide. So they've chosen this moment pretty wisely. But it just reinforces that activity in China is still very weak. And whilst they're trying to go and encourage borrowing to take place, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And at this point in time, there's some concerns out there that we've not seen any real meaningful rebound in activity in the world's second largest economy. And that's a negative for Australia and for the Australian dollar.
Finally, David, where are the opportunities for investors at the moment?
Look, a lot of opportunities to the short side, it's got to be said. A lot of things look very overvalued at this point. But when you look across broader markets, things where you can go and get a relatively good return without taking a lot of risk, you look at front end of the treasury market in the United States, even here in Australia, you can get some pretty good yields on government securities. You look at things like gold, to me, precious metal space, on a longer term trajectory, looks really appealing. Managed to go and buttress against the US dollar strength and really, really high interest rates, and managed to go and still hit record highs. What happens when those things eventually reverse? well, gold could go and have a really big run higher. I also don't mind the US dollar at this point as well. We still have very, very strong interest rates there, big interest rate differentials through the rest of the world. And if things really start to go and crumble, we start to go and get some really big selling and some economic woes, you're likely to see the US dollar actually go being quite strong demand when it comes to capital markets as well. So I like it from a number of angles as well. At this point, I'll be avoiding a lot of those Magnificent Seven tech names. There's a lot of good news priced in, and we can't go and test the theory as to whether those revenues will go and flow through in that space yet. It's still too early to go and see any real concrete evidence. Elsewhere, Aussie equities, look, at this point in time, the banks at this point look very, very vulnerable to a pullback. A lot of good news priced in there.
That was David Scott from StoneX.